Welcome everyone to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Dr. Van Beek.
Folks, it is so good to be back with you. It has been such a long wait. Not to mention that we spent 40 minutes with me trying to figure out what was wrong with my system. So, but Larry was real patient. Here we are. We're back. We're glad to be among you. My good friend, it is good to see you again.
Good to be here, Stephen. Good to be here.
Yes, I was. Lynn, I want you to know you saved me from making a comment about Larry's appearance. But just know I'm thinking it. That's all I gotta say. But tonight, my friend, never mind your appearance, which is outstanding, by the way. There, I snuck it in. we're going to talk about my favorite prophet, the Italian prophet.
Yes, that's right. Malachi.
I mean Malachi. I'm sorry I did that, but... My friend, what should we say about Malachi?
About Malachi? Yeah. About Malachi. What you want to know about Malachi is that he is the last book in the Protestant Bible, right? Or the Christian Bible. He's the last Old Testament book in the Christian Bible.
Yeah.
In the Jewish, in the Tanakh, the last book I recall is Chronicles. Hmm. And there, the suggestion is the books are the same in both, but maybe arranged a little differently. And Malachi, toward the end, points to the New Testament, and we think that's why it's the last one there. Hmm. But really, Malachi, he is a contemporary of Ezra and Nehemiah.
Okay.
And so this is, remember, they came back to the land, let's say 530, they come back to the land under Zerubbabel. And then probably, 60, 80 years later, Ezra and Nehemiah show up. Nehemiah mm-hmm. shows up
yeah.
with another group, and then Ezra's there as the priest. Well, Malachi was a prophet there around that same time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, I didn't realize that. No, I didn't realize that at all.
Yeah, which makes him, of course, a post-exilic prophet, because we always talk about pre-exilic and exilic and post-exilic. But that's about the time that he is there. And he is talking to the people, and he's dealing with very similar things that Ezra and Nehemiah are dealing with. Mm-hmm. And that's that they've come back to the land. They've rebuilt the temple, you know, as sad as some of the people were by how less quality it was than the original temple.
Right.
But they've rebuilt the temple, and now the people are kind of living for themselves again.
Hmm.
And they're doing some of the stuff that the others dealt with. They're marrying people outside of Judaism. and they're hurting each other, and their offerings have fallen dismally away.
Right.
And so Malachi is trying to say, look, we're back in the land, and why aren't we serving God? We need to be serving God properly. And that's what he deals with. So it starts off with God talking to them, and then them just spitting in the face of God. They're just mad at God, as we all are all the time. They are us, aren't they, Steve?
Yes, that's right. Completely shallow. So we shouldn't feel too bad about ourselves, but we should feel absolutely horrible about ourselves.
That's right. And then God sort of tells them off a little bit.
Right.
But it's interesting, because he kind of says he loves them, and then they're like, well, read it. And it's quite self-explanatory, actually.
Folks, Larry's so right. Here we go. Malachi 1. I didn't call him Malachi. Malachi 1. We're reading out of the NIV, as we typically do. 1:1. A prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I'm going to have to get it out of my head. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his hill country into a wasteland, and left his inheritance to desert jackals. Edom may say, although we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says, you may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel.
Yeah. So it first starts off with, you know, the prophet says that it's him. And then he says, the Lord says, I loved you. And everybody says, well, why don't you show us how you love me? We're not seeing it.
They're singing Janet Jackson's, What Have You Done For Me Lately?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, the Super Bowl situations. But so they're saying, you know, like prove it. And he says, well, what about Esau? Which is a weird thing to do. But God says, well, remember Esau. Remember how I love Jacob, and you guys are descendants of Jacob. And Esau, I did not love Esau. I turned his country into a wasteland.
Right.
Right. And even though they say they're going to rebuild it, I think I may still demolish it.
build away. It won't last.
Oh, man. Ultimate cosmic power. Eh?
Right.
And they'll be called wicked, and they'll be a people under the wrath of the Lord. Mm. Right. And he says, and you can see it with your own eyes. So it's funny. He doesn't say, look, I'm going to do all this wonderful stuff for you. He says, look at how much I've done for you compared to how much I did for them, which is kind of a little bit of an oddity. But he's trying to get them around, because he's going to be telling them, you know, if you start doing stuff, I will bless you.
Right.
And it's back to right actions lead to blessing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Picking it up at verse 6 now, folks. A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you offer sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so let's just talk about that for a second.
Oh, mercy. He goes for him.
Oh, yeah. And there's really not much to say, is there? He says, look, I'm your master. You really do need to respect me, you know. Like you don't have to call me Colonel, but you need to do what I say. Oh, thinking of a show I just watched,
right?
And he says, and your priests are doing the same thing, and they're saying, well, this is the weird thing. They're saying to him, well, how have we shown contempt? And he says, well, you're supposed to bring me the proper animals, and you're bringing me the stuff in the back room, you
right.
know. You know, lame and blind and diseased animals is what you're sacrificing to me, which is, and the oddity is the priests are complicit in this.
Yeah.
And they of all people shouldn't be, because, you know, this part of this is to support the temple.
Right.
And so they, but that's what he's saying to them. He's saying, you're just giving me your leftover junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Basically.
Oh, I mean, it's just stab. Like, how dare you be so dumb, right? Yeah.
Fortunately, he's not saying that to us.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it only applies to these people, not to anything we've done.
Yeah. We used to laugh about what they send to missionaries. You know, they would, you know, send old stuff and, you know, like yard sale stuff to the missionaries and things like that. Gosh. It's that kind of thing that they're doing. Yeah. Okay, keep going if you want.
Verse 9. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible. And when you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty.
Yeah, he almost says something different here. But what he does say is I just as soon you shut the doors of the temple than be doing this ridiculous stuff that you're doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
I should read that last bit too. I skipped that. Sorry, bud.
Oh, no, go ahead, finish it.
Yeah. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, I should accept them. Should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Sorry about
that. Yeah, it's funny the stuff he had them doing, right? You know, this whole sacrificial system, you know, doesn't work in woke Canada, but but it was their thing. And one of the things is you give the best of your flock.
Yeah.
You know, unblemished, you know, unblemished animals and pure animals. And these guys just weren't doing it. And they were also being contemptuous about the Lord's table anyway.
Right. I love that. Yeah. What a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mercy.
Yeah. So, and they're actually creating the problem and then fussing about the problem that they've created themselves.
Oh, fortunately, that doesn't sound like us at all.
No. We just have to do the first eight or nine verses here because again, this is the completion of this first thing that he has against them. The next thing is going to have to do with marriage and divorce, but this is still about the sacrificial system.
Yeah. All right. So flip the page, folks, or hopefully you've got to flip the page, or me, got to take it to a different web page, and let's start at chapter 2, verse 1 now. Now, priests, this is a warning. Now, you priests, this is a warning to you. If you do not listen, if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you know that I will have sent you this warning so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned from sin. For the lips.
Awful nice thing to say about Levi. Because remember, Levi was one of the Jacob's sons.
I was just thinking, I have read this story recently in Genesis, so I was like...
Yeah. Yeah, so the prophet here is being very generous to their forefather.
Yeah.
But it also suggests that these guys have come back to a Levitical priesthood, too,
mm-hmm.
which is important to remember.
Right.
So they've not come back to the thing that Israel was doing. They've come back to the thing that Judah was doing. Remember when there was a divided kingdom?
Right.
And at one time, I thought they couldn't know who the Levites were. But it seems that they did keep some records, and they kept track of these things so that when they came back from the Babylonian captivity and the Persians took over, they still kind of knew who the Levites were.
Yeah.
So it wasn't completely lost in that 80 years or the 70 years while they were gone.
Right. Yeah. Oh, good point, Mark. Good point. Verse 7, for the lips of a priest sought to preserve knowledge because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way and the teaching that caused so many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people because you have not followed my ways but have shown partiality in matters of the law.
Yeah, so the priests have been just doing what the people wanted, and the people have no respect for them at all. Now, you see that happening these days too.
Yeah,
but that was his thing. So his very first thing is, you're not doing the temple properly. You're not doing the worship properly. You're not doing your sacrifices properly. You've let all of that go. I brought you back into the land. I expected all of this stuff to happen, and you haven't done any of it. Or you did it for a while, and then that kind of crept away, right?
Yeah.
Over a period of time. And next thing he's going to be talking about their marriage relationships.
Yeah.
And they're just not following the laws of God. He says, I want the people to come back to me through you, but how can they? Mm. Yeah. Mm. So.
Ooh. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm fast forwarding that to our.
Yes.
I should stop doing that right now. Sorry, I'll take that away.
Oh, no, and it's quite an acceptable thing to do. It's not wrong to say, ooh, what are we doing that we should, you know, or what are we not doing that we should be doing?
Yeah. My friend, that was fantastic. Thanks for leading us through that. I mean, just what an eye-opening thing of God going, how dumb are you? Do you not think I get this? Do you not think I'm watching? Folks, as always, like we said at the beginning, we're so glad to be among you again. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We appreciate you sticking with us when we take these little breaks. We have to. It's just the way our lives go. But we do enjoy doing this for you. And we'll be back in a week's time. Like Larry said, we'll pick it up at this point where he starts talking about breaking the covenant through divorce and kind of just how this post-exilic Israel was starting to lead its life again, kind of forgetting what it just had been taught over 80 years. Oops. I mean, I know we don't do that, so we could at least say, oh, we're not like them. But anyway. All right. Until next time, I've been Steve, he's been Larry, and this...